I got something for you.
Okay.
A couple of truckers that stopped in town. Mm. One, they're happy to see me. There's something off about them. Run this place for me.
Come on, it's here.
If you get a hit, pass it on to the troopers.
Wow, you're looking jacked, Ray. You've been working out?
I warned him about the recoil.
If you don't want the silver, you gotta take the lead. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
I think he meant the lead. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. It's Film Sack, episode 193, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. And my name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined tonight by Brian. How many giant Dell monitors does one have to see in a film to know there was a big product placement deal in place, Dunaway?
Nah, thank you. Here comes my worst Arnold Schwarzenegger impression because I'm totally doing it cold.
I think it's your only one, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's been a while since I since I have started my own movie. So which one of these ladies gets to sleep with me, eh? Eh? What's that? Not a thing anymore? That makes me so mad. Ah!
He says,
at least, eh? He's Canadian.
Canadian, right? Austrian. Yes.
Canadian, eh?
Sorry, go ahead.
At least I get to star alongside Lawrence Fishburne. What? Forrest Whitaker? Seriously? I thought that was Lawrence Fishburne. Are you sure it's not at least Samuel L. Jackson? Gah! That makes me so mad. I want to punch windows instead of rolling them down before shooting. Pew, pew, pew!
You've never,
in a car!
You've never been more honest about anything in your life that that is the worst Schwarzenegger I've ever heard. That is so bad. Oh, I loved it, though. All right. Also with us, Randy. He's seen enough blood and death that he knows what's coming, Jordan.
Yeah. Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. Or should I say buenos dias? Or should I say buenos tardes? Or buenos noches? Or should I say what que pile montón of pure crap, mierda pura, did we just watch, Mira? And what am I doing sounding like Dora the Explorer? Right. Wait for it. Hold it. Dora la Exploradora.
I'm the map. I'm the map. Fantastic. Nice job.
I don't understand what just happened.
I don't either. Yeah. Finally with us, Brian, they sure put a lot of trust in that hippie kid in L.A. that knows a lot about cars, Ibbot.
Turn left at the chopper. Turn left at the chopper. Right. Okay. Hey, you want to go to the big game this weekend? Yeah, me too. I don't want to drive, though. How about we meet downtown? I'll park my Kia right behind the mayor's Dodge Charger, and then we're going to take the school bus to the game. And then when we get back, we can go to the diner for some fresh corn. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, the only people left in town by a matter of convenience was the old people, and all the young people took off.
Chekhov's Camaro, like that's the first time I've ever seen that one.
Yeah,
oh, wow. we knew it was about to happen. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, this happened. Oh, by the way, if anybody was
Camaro,
listening,
Camaro, not a Dodge Charger. Oh, let me erase that.
Camaro, right? By the way, if anybody heard my introduction, I was like, why does Brian really not know the difference between Lawrence Fishburne and Samuel L. Jackson? And there was a big thing in the news this past
week. Yeah, we got that.
Was
it? It was Samuel L. Jackson on the news.
Reporter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really LA reporter.
Yeah. Right. That was bad. That guy's an idiot.
It's funny to us now, but 2 years from now, people are going to think I'm a racist.
When they hear the show. Hey, I'm catching up on the episodes. And I mean, I know Brian's in the South, but I didn't realize what a racist a-hole he is.
What a jerk.
Well, it's The Last Stand, everybody. The single most recent film, or let's see, theater to film sack release we've ever done.
Right, close.
It's about a year old.
Yeah. Last Stand, directed by Kim Ji-woon, who is the Korean director auteur of such fantastic films as, well, really the only one I've ever seen is The Good, the Bad, and the Weird.
Right. Tale of Two Sisters. I didn't see that one. Pretty,
never saw that. What was the deal there? Because the cover art looks like a couple of half-dead ladies and two people standing by a couch. And I can't
That's
tell.
That's right. You got it.
The couch is very integral to that story,
okay,
by the way.
Good. Now it's
all
making sense.
It's a horror movie.
Oh, it's a horror movie.
Episode of The Simpsons is what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you haven't seen The Good, the Bad, the Weird, it is definitely worth seeing. And that is a freaking trip. It's way too long. Turns out so is The Last Stand, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's pushing around almost 2 hours, isn't it? Like hour 40 or something like that?
More than that. Should have been called The Last Four Stands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just put that out there to start, and I'll end on that later, because it really wasn't about The Last Stand. They didn't make a Last Stand. They had stand.
On the bridge, it was
That was the final Last Stand.
Yeah, that was the fourth of The Last Stand. I see what you're saying. Because the stuff in town with the telephone pole and the bus, and the school bus and the cars that Luis Guzman haphazardly arranged.
That was the third to last stand. The second to last stand was out in the cornfield.
Yeah.
What a cornfield is doing on the Arizona border, I don't understand.
That made no sense. That made no sense. They went up to Flagstaff or something. I don't know what was happening there. They
went up to Utah or something. Yeah. I don't get that.
That's an odd thing.
And then the very first of these last stands was the thing that really bugged me, because a bunch of cops who know what they're doing set up a roadblock that ends up getting completely demolished.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just move on.
Yeah, that was like really. Were you? Yeah. Did you not?
World War III breaks out on this highway, and then we just move on.
No military action. No nothing. It's like meh.
Whatever happened to that battering ram truck? That was pretty awesome. Oh no, never mind.
Oh, that one. Yeah, the one that cleared the cop cars out.
Ramming the bucket.
Ramming the bucket.
Seriously, Hannibal driving that sucker.
He was.
Totally, dude. Big old cigar hanging out. Loves it when a plan comes together. This movie had a couple of those. It went and got guns and stuff and all that.
The armory Johnny, trope. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville helping us out with the crazy old man weapons or the crazy old weapons.
Oh, yeah, that was the time. Yeah. So let's let Scott Fletcher explain more in case this entire plot, which is so simple a dog could figure it out, but we'll let him explain it anyway. Uh-huh. It's Scott Fletcher with his description of The Last Stand.
The Last Stand. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a border town sheriff who's taken up his post after tragic events brought an end to his tenure at the LAPD. But his quiet life is interrupted when a drug boss escapes FBI custody and flees straight towards his town.
There you go. Don't ever ask Scott Fletcher to do readings while he's sick, or else that's what you're going to get.
Man, he sounded so...
He does not sound happy about it at all.
That description sounded so much better than the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
He actually sounds like how I read it when I was reading it on Netflix. I'm like, oh, for pay six.
Yeah. Because this movie on paper, you're like, okay, so there's some walking tall, right?
Yeah.
Because the small town sheriff has got to take out the trash.
Sure. Walking Tall, for those that don't know, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, right? Is that the one? No?
Well, that was a remake, yeah. The Rock was...
Oh, there's an original. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so there's some Rambo here, right?
Yeah,
a bunch of people coming along, and there's only one guy, or in this case, a whole team of guys, but you know, most of them are knuckleheads who can do the job that they have to do. Like it's like you spend the whole movie going, "Where's the federal government in this?" They're off. They're in Las Vegas calling on the phone.
Yeah,
like
pretty much.
Is this is in the country I actually live in? Where if the federal government really wants to stop something, they got drones and the army.
Stop it. They will literally stop it. This kind of idea that we live in this strange sub reality where all there is a small town sheriff and guys in LA who can't keep their custody of the dude. That's it. That's everything. That's all you have.
But okay. But if you're going with it, you're like, okay, this is going to be an awesome movie, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like this is some really good pedigree.
Okay.
But what happened? Like, how did it go so wrong?
I'll tell you what they did wrong. They did the same thing in Good, Bad, the Ugly, but it worked there, I think, because it was this strange Korean film with subtitles and the quirk worked in its favor. But this movie tried to do the same thing, which was tell about seven different stories at once. And none of them were all that interesting. And having all of that confusion about, now, wait, which girl is this? Now, why is she riding with him? And why is that a big deal? He arrested her at the end. Wait, do we even care about that? Because the Friday Night Lights kid got killed. Well, that's trouble.
That broke my heart. Yeah.
No, it didn't. It was stupid.
No, it was a reason.
Oh, you gotta like,
it was something to fight for.
I like the kid. Don't get me wrong. The actor's great. And even his character's fine. My problem or my issue with that was this whole, yeah, I'd really like to get to L.A. You want to help me get there, Arnold?
But what's up with all the subplots? It's not just that.
That's my point.
Like the subplot of the girl who was double crossing everybody. What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know when she did it.
Straight out of The Chase, expecting her to roll around.
Well, she just had a gun to her head and said yes to a lot of stuff. And maybe part of her was like,
But apparently they figured out that she had gotten some money from the bad guys in the first place, and then she tried to double cross both the feds and the bad guys, and you're like, why? Why are you working this into my script?
Didn't need any of it.
It's totally unnecessary.
Yeah. You know, I hear us complaining about the layers.
I just heard Roscoe Coltrane, please do that again.
Damn dukes.
Flash.
And speaking of which, there was an Enos in this movie at the very beginning.
There was an Enos eating a donut.
He totally was eating.
Oh,
he was
by
totally
the way, eating up. A donut. Just the cop eating a donut.
Oh,
sure.
Right.
Why not?
There's apparently some jets flying around here think it's funny to go 200 down. It's not.
Like a cop wouldn't know that a car just passed him by? Yeah.
But it was a Corvette 1 million horsepower something.
Sorry, that Corvette is a Corvette. It's just a damn Corvette.
It's a C6 ZR1.
It's 198 miles an hour. It's a jet, low flying jet.
There's BMWs that can do that speed. Put the right tires on them. It would not. There's no cop in the world who would be fooled by turning your lights off.
Yeah, that was dumb.
I don't know. Come on. I was able to. I mean, all right, okay. I'm not defending this movie. But if you're rolling between. Usually, this is how I defend my movies. If it falls between a 5 out of a scale of 10, I'll just beat it up and knock it all the way down to 1. But when it kind of straddles that 5, I'm kind of like, you know, it's kind of stupid, but I kind of enjoyed it too. So this one kind of like teeters right around the fence of 5 for me.
I'm not glad. I'm not sad I saw it. Like I was worth seeing. Now I've seen it. And now I can talk about the aftermath of it. And I can start to pick apart things like, why is Johnny Knoxville second named actor in the movie and not Forrest Whitaker.
Not gonna lie, this movie was better than I thought it was
going to be. Or even Sif, Jamie Alexander. You know, she should have been.
Maybe the answer to that, this is my best shot I got. There is such an opportunity in this film for people like Luis Guzman and Johnny Knoxville to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they shot a lot of funny and it was just all Dukes of Hazzard stuff and so they left it on the cutting room floor.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, they didn't leave all of it.
No.
Well, no.
But like, no trespassing.
You get this taste of it at the very beginning, and you're just like, oh, yeah, man. Johnny Knoxville's out here with these knuckleheads and a freaking Smith & Wesson 500. Right. Oh, my God.
In his bathrobe.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love me some Knoxville too. So that is not a complaint for me. I think he's great.
A jackass.
But tell me you weren't just giddy when what's his name takes the 500 and shoots it and knocks his nose all around. And then Schwarzenegger takes it and it doesn't recoil.
Doesn't move an inch. Yeah, doesn't move. Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, why can't the whole movie be like that?
Give me your clothes, and your boots. Yeah. Look, I kind of like aging Schwarzenegger. I kind of dig it. Like, I don't have a problem with them. They only really called out to the old thing a few times where he's like, oh, I'm too old for wrestling around in a building. Or later on, the lady says, you okay? Or what's the matter? He said, age or something.
I'm old.
Right? I'm old. Yeah. Old. and that's all fine. But I, you know, think this works in a different universe with a different writer and a different director. And this not having this need to have 50 subplots going on all the time. If they would have just focused on Arnold and make it a straight up 80s homage to revenge films or whatever, that would have been great. That would have been great. He could have done more. I felt like they were giving him a break. Like they were Mr. Schwarzenegger, we don't have to have you in all these scenes. We'll make something up with freaking Knoxville and Guzman running around the streets for a while. Don't worry. Relax. Everything's fine.
I could use some more Forrest Whitaker. I really could have.
I could have used him doing more than just phone that shit in.
Or how about nothing? Yeah. How about none of this feds crap?
Yeah.
True. Because all of it was unnecessary. They cut away to Las Vegas for a full 15 minutes showing you the bad guy breaking out of custody. Mm-hmm. And the bad guy somehow brought in like a dozen dudes in orange to run around.
Right.
We had a
heist movie at the beginning.
Yeah, and it gets into this whole procedural thing, and you're like, oh, wow, they got these guys, and they're interrogating them, and like, wait a minute. Yeah. This has nothing to do with this movie.
Yeah, and Forrest Whitaker, he played the part of all the old white men in that that movie, the other Jack Ryan movie we saw with...
Clear and Present Danger.
Right. No, not that one, the one after it, whatever it is.
Some of All Fears.
Yes. Where they were just constantly exacerbated by how everything was going wrong.
Was that Lawrence Fishburne? No, that was
a bunch of white guys.
Morgan Freeman?
It was Morgan Freeman, he was in that.
Oh, he was, but he wasn't one of the freakouts. It was like the president who was like... That'll do pig, that'll do president.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. That'll do pig.
The Star Trek dude, can't think of his name. Anyway, that guy. Cochran. Zephyrin Cochran. Freaking out because nothing was going his way. Well, that's just all I ever got from him. And I really, really like Forrest Whitaker. I think he's in the right roles. He's just amazing. But then you put him in this and Species One and freaking, what was that terrible thing we saw with Travolta, the Battlefield Earth? What are you doing to that poor guy? I feel like it's just him going, you know, you can't do Ghost Dog and the freaking one about that
Crying Game.
Yes, you can't do all these movies and that's it. You got to pay your bills.
Yeah, exactly. I think he just is a genuinely nice guy. He's like, oh, that's a good script. Sure, I'll do your movie. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure he still takes a paycheck. But I think he's, you know, I think that either him or his agent is just quick to say yes. Like,
He's a good guy. I agree.
Yeah.
He just seems like it. And except when he was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, man. He was mad.
I don't remember him in that. He was mad.
He was Washington, the football player whose car Sean Penn destroyed and he took it out on the other team.
I have no memory of that.
Really?
I remember really liking him in Phenomenon as a secondary character.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked
him.
He was
in Species.
He was in the first one, right?
In the first one, yeah, as a psychic, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
And then Good Morning Vietnam. I love that one. I love when he was in that.
Wait, he was in that?
Yeah, he was he was like the guy that was totally enamored with Robin Williams when he
first
showed up.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh.
My favorite roles with him in it.
All I can think of with that movie is the guy
good
that was
Good Morning.
No, not that. The other actor who died too early.
Right, Reader's Digest guy?
No. Wait, yes. Yes. I can't think of his name. He was in the City Slickers deal as well.
Right, whatever his name is.
He was so annoying. I wanted to punch that guy so bad that to me that is the movie. That's him. It's just him versus the world. That's all that show is. Anyway, Kim Ji-woon, whatever, man. Mm-hmm. You should probably not do this movie. I just feel like here's the thing. If you're going to do all the weird subplotting and the other things you're kind of known for, then fine. But then do the other stuff you're known for, which is some of the most incredibly choreographed gun firing, shoot car action scenes I've ever seen in my freaking life. And he didn't do any of that here. I mean, there's some moments where you're like, oh, that's all right. That looked cool. That was okay. But when he did Good, Bad, the Weird, whatever, that thing is full of some of the most amazing stuff I've ever seen.
Best
CGI
squibs.
Help and everything else. It's great.
Best squibs ever, man. I'm telling you, some of those shots were fantastic. I mean, you really believe that person got shot.
Lots of blood mist.
Except for like the splat. Yeah, it's like some really thin splash, watery blood splash in that.
Yeah, some sweet CGI 300 action going
on.
Yes, right.
It made me wonder who was the aficionado of the guns for this movie.
I
guess it must have been the director.
Maybe.
Like,
could have been.
It's just remarkable how many famous, recognizable, really, really powerful and rare guns are on display in this movie. I mean, the list is massive. Every single bad guy, every single good guy has a different weapon than the last one you saw. It's like at least 36 different rare and interesting to look at guns in this movie. And of course, the Vickers.
Oh yeah. Always the Vickers. Always.
You
the
know
Vickers.
Who we haven't No, we haven't talked about it all.
Henry Dean Stanton? No?
Peter Stormare.
Oh, I love Peter Stormare. Yeah.
He's been in Stormata. So many. Yeah, he's been in so many of our movies that we've watched.
Yeah. By the way, you want the latest leaderboard? Check this out. Top actor. This will be broken today. It was a tie between Peter Jason and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That changes today.
Oh,
so that'll
really?
That'll be 8 for Arnie. So he's all back in. Right. Top studio, Paramount with 23 films. Top director, Richard Donner. Top decade, 1980s. Top genre, action adventure. Top MPAA rating. Rated R, baby.
Rated R film sack.
That's
Rated
right. R. But anyway, I was going to look real quick how many times we've seen Peter. I know it's been a few times.
At least.
But he was he or was he not trying to do an accent?
He tries to do this southern
like a thug kind of accent.
It was awful.
It was really bad. So for a while I thought, oh, maybe they're just screwing off here. This is just him being a goof, and he's still kind of Russian, but he just loves being I was reading way too much into it because I think he was just trying to do an accent and it sucked.
Right.
I don't know
he's a Swedish actor. Is that
right? Yeah, he's from isn't it Sweden or Switzerland or something.
He does this excellent Eastern European Russian thing.
Yeah.
And I don't understand what was going on in this movie.
Just let him do that. Why not let him just do that?
Yeah, right. It's perfectly fine.
We've talked about this before when you wonder if the director understood what was happening.
Probably
like
not.
looks and listens to the dailies and doesn't really fully get that this is bad.
Yeah.
That's because that's how it came across.
That was my impression as well, is that he just wasn't hearing it. And the more he did it, well, actually, okay, I'm not going to lie. So this is a point in your favor, Dunaway, but he was my favorite thing in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I enjoyed watching him say things and do things more than I think I enjoyed any of the other actors doing what they... Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. And when you hear some of these clips, you'll be reminded why. Because he says some funny stuff like this. Like this. Listen to this. Wait.
Look at that squirrel.
That's funny.
look at that squirrel.
And he laughs a lot. He does things like that.
Yeah. I do like the guy.
Right, right.
I like him in there. He's one of those dudes. If I see him, he's in a movie, I'll go.
So he's kind of like,
that's great.
He's kind of like the modern day Burt Reynolds. Then he's got that laugh for us. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of. By the way, he's not in any of the top lists for SAG actors. So we've
really.
Yeah, I think it's funny because he belongs in a lot of these things that we see. But maybe he's just too new. Like if we start doing like the Fargos and the
right.
Yeah, we don't count any of the ones and twos. So. It's only right. threes and up, and he has not appeared three times, unless maybe today is the third. Maybe he'll be on the list. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the ties for third are literally two thirds of the list of most seen actors.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So you got to cut it somewhere. But
anyway. We've seen him in something recently because I remember this IMDb photo of him in his Hawaiian shirt with his big old grin on his face.
I do too.
What was that? What was the movie? It was something.
Let's roll back through his history.
The Nicolas Cage thing, the witch, Season of the Witch, maybe?
Maybe.
No, let's see.
No. As I've been reminded over and over, we did not watch Armageddon for film side.
No, we have not seen him.
Weird to
just
me.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
It does feel.
Really does.
We did Con Air, which was.
Right. We saw Deep Impact, which is also.
Did we do
a lot
Lockout?
Like
that sounds like something we would have done.
Oh, Lockout. He's in Lockout. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Remember, he's the Secretary of State or whatever.
Yeah, Guy Pearce, Maggie Grace.
Yeah. He's with the president. And was a bad guy.
Sure, it was Maggie Grace.
No, right. And then, what's the other one's name?
Leslie. No, not Leslie.
Pibb. Bibb.
Bibb.
Leslie
Bibb.
Bibb. Yeah. I always order that when they don't have Dr. Pepper. I always
get Bibb. It's the Kroger knockoff.
Yeah.
I'm weirded out to have just learned that Peter Stormare was in the movie Nacho Libre.
Oh,
which
that's odd.
I don't remember at all.
I don't either. I've seen that movie a couple times.
Yeah, I don't remember Peter Stormare.
That's weird. I know we've got him coming up for Minority Report.
I forgot he was Satan in Constantine. We need to watch Constantine, by the way.
Oh, Constantine is another movie that feels like we should have seen it already.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Right.
Oh, totally, dude. Body count was 44 in this movie. Lots of people
body
died.
Count.
The scene where they go to load up on weapons at Johnny Knoxville's place. Luis Guzman can be seen holding the Atlantean broadsword that Arnold used in the Conan movies.
Oh, really?
Oh, very good.
So that was a nod. Yeah.
Yes. Are you going to go fight the Crusades?
Yeah. See, also, that's a good impression.
It was all right. I mean, compared to what you did, it was dead on.
Hey, you know, I'm just trying to set everybody up. All let right. everybody
Scott,
shine.
You know, it's the
all
right. idea.
Yeah.
You know what's, what's weird is that scene in Dinkum's museum, you really didn't see any remarkable weapons, except, I mean, he unveils the Vickers. But
he popped in right then. I couldn't help
it. It's just a bunch of it's just a bunch of guns and ammo boxes. Yeah. All the remarkable weapons are being held by the townsfolk and the bad guys already.
Yeah,
you know, like there's a late in the second to last stand, one of the bad guys goes into like an antique shop and there's an old woman and she
in
pulls a gun
in
on him.
Chair, yeah, pulls a gun on him. She's got like some kind of sawed off.
No. It's a Uberti, man. This is like a 150-year-old revolver carbine.
Nice.
And oh my god, it's beautiful. Like they even kind of slow down a moment, let you really see the gun as she pulls it out.
So there's some gun porn here we weren't aware of then.
Dude, yeah.
Gun and car porn. I mean, that's the big thing, right? Is the the XJ1 or the
Chevy car porn to be specific,
right?
The C6 ZR1.
Yeah, C6 when they pull that with the whatever you call it, the other one. What's the other car? The Camaro.
SS.
That's when you go. Oh, they got a deal with Chevy. That's right.
Oh, yeah, dude, sure. The whole movie.
Yeah,
like there were so many Chevys in this movie. I was amazed when I saw a Ford police car.
That's right. Oh, yeah, they still had LTD or LT. What are they called? What's the big one called? The
LDT?
No. LTD? No. The ones that cop cars always
Crown use. Victoria.
Crown Vic. The Crown Vicks.
Yeah, Crown Vicks. Yeah,
yeah, you got to shorten it or it doesn't sound right. Crown Vic,
so does baby. The does the Corvette standard come with a ramp? Like, does the hood turn into a ramp that can flip a police vehicle?
And leaves a beautiful track, but doesn't dent.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah,
no damage to the windshield. Just whoop.
Those things are still fiberglass, right? Isn't that how those cars are made? They were back in the day.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I think that would have just shattered all over the place. It's like you hit it with that kind of impact. That whole scene was just complete.
Whatever. Dukes of Hazzard. It's all right. Dukes of Hazzard.
Total garbage. And you know what? Randy's right. Don't even need the LA stuff. Have this guy roll in out of nowhere on the highway.
Right. Well, they need some advance warning that he's coming so that they can have that getting ready stuff. The A team getting ready. You know?
So which far still, down a road
still
to
makes
go.
No sense. Even if your whole town had left. The last thing you do is blow up your town while everybody's gone.
Yeah.
You just hide.
Yeah. They tried to be a Western when they got to town. That's what that was supposed to be. And that thing on the standoff, the last stand on the bridge.
That was great. That was like, finally, they're giving us an actual last stand.
Yeah. Also, finally, there's a way over to Mexico that has no guards and is a simple bridge to cross.
And doesn't have a bunch of illegals running across into
they built it. The bad guys built that.
Oh, they did?
Right before he got there.
Oh, I didn't get that from it.
It was a brand new bridge that apparently took, you know, really just took a crane going flip, flop, flip, flip, flip. Bridge.
No one noticed it.
No, they brought support underneath or anything like that.
There's a spot early in the movie when somebody calls in that they're out at the river and they saw this temporary bridge being built, and that's where they have the actual last stand fight.
Right.
The problem with all of it, all that crap, especially on that fight on that bridge.
Physics.
Yes. But also we're all sitting around watching Justified.
Yeah.
And this movie is like so wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like it's like
this is Justified gets it so right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is probably your point.
The more I learn.
Exactly. I agree. All that stuff's jank and crap. And there are about five. I lost track of chicks in a bucket. Way, way too many.
Okay, but
a lot of buckets for all those chicks.
The best has to be the battering ram in a bucket.
Yes.
That thing.
All right,
is
I'm going
to
go ahead and head back to LA. Thanks.
Thanks,
that's
guys.
Bye-bye.
No problem. Here's your 20
bucks.
We'll
need you at all when we get to that town with all
the rest of the movie.
Cars.
Yeah.
Rest of the movie, that battering ram is just driving down the highway somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Can a helicopter go as fast as that Corvette or not?
Yes. It could go faster. Yeah.
But they said it could not. He said the jerk at the FBI place said that the car goes faster.
He was full of crap. There's no way that's true. As the crow flies with what helicopters, I guarantee a helicopter could outrun a Corvette. There's no way.
Right. That Corvette was going 60 most of the time. It was getting on my nerves. I'm like, if it could go 200, go 200.
But especially considering that the helicopter doesn't have to follow the road.
Yeah.
The car does, you know, like the real conceit of this film that drove me crazy was this idea that at times you don't have radios.
Yeah.
Like, of course, it doesn't matter if you can keep up with him. You just radio ahead to the next guy. They throw some spikes out on the highway. End of movie.
They did a Simpsons thing when it disappeared out of their spotlight, and hit the brakes and went backwards, and then they acted like they couldn't find it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a Simpsons episode where I remember Chief Wiggum is chasing a car down. The car in front of him turns its lights off at night, and he goes, it's a ghost car. We better pull over. That's kind of what they're like. Ah, we lost him, Chief. No, you didn't. Point your thing that way because he hit his brakes right there. That kind of stuff. It's really hard.
It was. And I kind of chalked up and said, okay, well, you know, it's like 4 a.m. So, okay, there's no traffic. That kind of explains that. And I was like, but who the hell ships a dangerous dude at 4 a.m? And I was like, I don't know. And I just finally shook my brain off and said, let's just watch this movie.
I so want more discussions between you and you.
Yeah.
Right?
That is really interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's like more interesting than the movie is what I'm getting at. They had freaking Johnny Knoxville and Luis Guzman. They did with them in that third act was have Johnny Knoxville chop down a light pole.
Yeah, that was it.
Right.
And the thing with the movie on the whole that really gives me the most gas, if I was to pick one thing, is that your two stars that are on the marquee, that are on the poster, that have their names, number one, number two, Schwarzenegger, Knoxville, okay?
Right.
They are also two of the people who seem to be in the movie the least. And I even mean Arnold in this case. Mm-hmm. Barely in his damn movie. So he would be there for key moments, like The Last Stand. But there were all these other subplots kept kicking those two out of there. And there was a point where I forgot Knoxville was in the movie until suddenly he showed up again. And I went, oh, yeah, I totally forgot he was in this. Last time we saw him, he was in a robe shooting a gun.
Right, right. Was it with the part where he got shot? Because I think that's what I was thinking, too. Oh, they're going to go to Knoxville?
Maybe.
Where's he been?
I don't know. That's a really odd thing to do with your two, the names you have on the marquee. There's more, like, if you're going to give it to most people who are most in your film, you're giving it to Thor
and you're giving it to
dude in LA. That's how you're doing it.
Marketing decision. I mean, you want those people who are Knoxville fans to come watch your movie. I think that's
what you really want is the Arnold Schwarzenegger fans to come see him in his movie.
You want the movie to be like the poster.
Right.
That's the thing. Yes, you see that you see those two guys on that poster with that Vickers out the back of a school bus and you're like, rock on. Yeah. Come on with that.
Yeah.
And then it's a bunch of like parking garage. Shit.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did any of us go see this at the theater?
No. I wanted to. The reviews are so bad. I almost did.
It's a Schwarzenegger movie. I don't listen to reviews. I'm a Schwarzenegger fan, but I was just like, I'm gonna wait. I just didn't feel like I wanted to go.
It came out in January. That's where you bury films that are bad.
Yeah.
Right.
So everybody knew it was bad. Like the people who made the movie knew it was bad. I just don't understand. I don't understand why they didn't stop along the way and say, okay, let's have some more fun with this.
Yeah.
It's just soulless. By the end, they've got Arnie spouting out these one-liners during a fist fight on a bridge and getting stabbed. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, it's too late. You lost me a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I wanted to like it. I wanted to have a good time with it. We've seen better Arnie movies, and they're older and dumber, but they're better.
Oh yeah.
Well, and don't you want to like it because it's his first big film after being governor? Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been. Look, so 2003's last role, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. That's the last time he did anything, and he did it with that yellow dude from Sin City. Can't think of his kid's name. The one's always in trouble now. Old dirty yellow bastard kid. Whatever.
Mickey Rourke?
No.
Yeah.
Nick Stahl.
Nick Stahl. That's it. Mm-hmm. Kid is always in rehab. Well, maybe he should be in rehab, but he's always in trouble. But the point is, you made that your big break between that running the affairs of the great state of California, and then your big return should be something better than this.
Expendables. Well,
and again, it had all this potential, right? Like, it's called The Last Stand. Come on. Yeah. It had so much potential.
It's also important to note, we're talking about his return as a starring role. Previous to this, he was in Around the World in 80 Days, a tiny little bit in that. He had stuff in The Expendables 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. And little, 2. Snippets.
Yeah. He was like
Expendables 2, he rips the door off a little tiny smart car.
Isn't he a main dude in that one, though? Like a main character?
No.
No?
He and Chuck Norris, not Chuck Norris, Chuck
Bruce
Norris
Willis, right?
Guy. He and Bruce Willis get into this tiny little car and zip it around an airport somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Exactly, that's it.
Yeah. That's it?
Yeah. It's
what
funny
you see
as hell.
Of them in the previews is pretty much, I'm guessing, all you see in the film.
It's funny as hell. Like, their part of Expendables 2 is funnier than all of The Last Stand.
Yeah. I forgot his name was Trench.
Trench,
That's a great name. So, that's 3 funny. Is when? When did we get 3? Is that out now? No,
Expendables
August
3. Yes, it's
I knew that we had Snipes in there, and I'd heard about Banderas, and I heard that Schwarzenegger was back for a bigger part in this time, and Mel Gibson was in. I heard about all these new names coming. I even heard about Kelsey Grammer joining the team. Okay, I heard about that. He's going to be all blue and furry.
I know. Right. I know where you're going with this.
I did not know Harrison Ford had signed on to this.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, really?
No idea, dude.
And let's put together the names Harrison Ford and Wesley freaking Snipes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's great.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think that makes me respect Harrison Ford just a little bit less.
So you have less respect for Harrison Ford, but maybe a greater anticipation of whatever Expendables 3 is.
Yes. You know, he probably said, well, can't be any worse than the Crystal Skull. All right, I'll do your movie.
Yeah. I mean, what is Kelsey Grammer doing? He plays somebody named Bonaparte. So he's probably some genius.
I'm sure it's like, exactly. He's not going to be running with a crowd. He'll be sitting in a lab somewhere back in the home office.
Yeah. So check this out. Bruce Willis, I know this is nothing about the movie we're talking about, but Bruce Willis was set to reprise his role as Mr. Church at a salary of $3 million, $750K a day.
Not bad.
For 4 days. When he demanded $1 million per day instead, Stallone and the producers refused, so he left the film. Within 3 days, Stallone was able to get Harrison Ford to replace him in the church role as a new character. So they just said, see you later, church. Bring on Han Solo.
It's horrible.
He's not making $1 million a day for anything right now, so let's do this.
If you went back in time 15 years and told me that there was going to be a movie in 2014 or any time with Stallone, Statham, Jet Li, Banderas, Wesley Snipes, Dolph Lundgren, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I would have said that can't be possible.
It doesn't
that
seem
what are you be, smoking?
Right, it's yeah. not possible. Unpossible that those people would all be in the same movie.
Right. I agree.
And now and I look at it and I'm like, yeah, it makes sense.
Time had to pass, dude. Mm-hmm. That wound had to fester. Like it had to sit like a bad wine and ferment before it could be possible. And when it became possible is when none of these people demand the kind of money they used to, except maybe him. Maybe John McClane was just like, I'm still kind of out there. I still got stuff going on.
Right.
I'm not like we're the rest
done,
of you guys.
We're not done with this Die Hard thing yet.
Yeah. Take that. And he
sent we'll make you work in there.
Don't you imagine the casting director for The Last Stand getting a hold of Forrest Whitaker's people and saying, come on, it's Schwarzenegger's first big film back.
Totally.
Like, right. You want to be on this train.
Yeah, you won a Golden Globe for your horrible African leader show movie thing you did.
He won an Academy Award.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
for Last King of Scotland?
Yeah, so you've got that. You have your prestige moment. Come on back and do something shitty. Come on over. Yeah,
but then it's like Whitaker's making this whole other movie, right? This is second crew stuff. Everything Forrest Whitaker does until he finally traipses into town at the very end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he maybe didn't know that it was a crap film. Right. Like, you imagine this great actor like just being led around by the nose.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like his part of the movie was a bad episode of Law and Order, is what it was.
Yeah, pretty close.
Now, let's say instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger, it was Liam Neeson. Better movie? Worse movie?
Way worse.
Same movie.
No, way worse. He was originally considered for the role and
really?
He passed. Yeah.
I'm glad he passed.
Yeah, he could have.
I have even more sets of skills.
This is kind of interesting, though.
Yet another set of skills.
Now hide under the bed because they're going to take you. I really like him, so I kind of have a thing that tells me in the back of my head I might have liked it more if he was in it. Now, I'm not saying it would have been good for him or good for any of us or we would have thought less.
The script wouldn't have changed. Nothing would have changed.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be my point, is that really, Liam Neeson in here, what really do you change?
I think I would have bought him more as the character.
That's all you do. You just take out the sword that Luis Guzman picks up and that's it.
Instead, he would have picked up a cell phone used in the first Taken.
So,
lightsaber.
Yeah. Something from movie. There'd be a list with people's names on it to save. That's how you do it.
The whole movie would have been different, and I'll tell you why.
You think so?
One of my favorite tropes in the movie is the trope of jurisdiction friction.
Oh, Dwayne, right? That deserves a thing to play.
I remember that in
Musgrove.
Schoolhouse
Rock. Yeah.
Jurisdiction friction.
Oh man, jurisdiction friction. It's actually one of the few cop tropes that Justified never gets into. Everybody just always gets along between the county and the local and the federal and so on.
Sort of on that show.
Once in a great while, the FBI comes in and they all argue.
Yeah, I'll get mad and stuff. I remember, like, if you're caught up,
it's always happy when Raylan's around.
That's
right,
true.
Yeah,
but he's just a constable.
But
what's his name though? The guy from Ned Ryerson from Groundhog Day. You know what his end was.
He's the FBI who comes in.
They fight a lot, those two.
Yeah.
So,
but yes. anyway, but my point is, jurisdiction friction is a bad trope. It really, really stinks.
Yeah.
But it's played beautifully in this movie where Morgan Freeman. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Samuel L. Jackson.
That's really, really embarrassing. Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker
and Arnold Schwarzenegger keep getting on the phone and arguing. And then Schwarzenegger hangs up on him.
Yeah.
Every time. And Whitaker's like, what the F? That would have not been even remotely fun with Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I really liked Ice-T in his role as an L.A. FBI agent. He was great.
Say Forrest Whitaker one more time.
Here's what I want to know. Ah, crap. Now I forgot it. Oh, Where is the, I think the most egregious use of your jurisdiction friction is Die Hard. To me, that is the one.
Yeah, for sure.
When those dicks get off that helicopter, Johnson and Johnson.
FBI guys, yeah.
That is that is the ultimate. I really feel that way. Like, that is the worst. And it's the worst because they make them look like cocky jerks. The local guy who's the principal on freaking Breakfast Club, that guy, he's acting like a total local buffoon, even though he's in one of the biggest, quote unquote, police markets in the country, L.A. Like, you can't get much bigger than running that. Yet he's still just bumbling around like he's on that freaking movie. Like, he's still in the Breakfast Club. Like, those, like, Bender's is going to fall through the ceiling any second. And I think that movie's the worst at it. And we've seen our, I think we've seen our share of that jurisdiction friction. I just want to say it again, though, really, is my excuse.
That's a fun thing to say.
Yeah. Jurisdiction friction.
It's a great trope.
Let's see. Arnie's hair. I don't like it now. I just put a note in there that it's just too crazy. Yeah. Come on, calm that stuff down.
He's old.
Yeah. Yeah. Henry Dean Stanton got blown the hell out of that. Oh my gosh.
Dude. Yeah, like they shot, didn't shoot him with a bullet, but like with a cinder block.
Yeah. Right. 50 caliber cinder block. Just pah! And he went flying out of there. So it got me to thinking. He recently did an interview with Marc Maron on his podcast, and he is an interesting, weird old dude who has a lot of stuff to say. But I thought it'd be fun if we just quickly acknowledge the fact that Henry Dean Stanton, who's probably also paying the bills here.
We could even call him Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes. What did I say? Henry? Yep.
Henry.
I meant Harry. Harry Dean Stanton. What talking about. Do you have a favorite role of in a film for Henry? Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, one. Paris, I've Texas is good. One. There's a bunch of other ones, but go ahead, Brian.
What Alien.
Okay, absolutely. That was my pick as well.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah. I thought for sure you were going to go with, like, Green Mile. No, or
I liked him a lot in that.
All right, you can tell you what. I'll let you have Alien. I'm going to say it's still my favorite, but I'll also throw in... what was the Nicolas Cage one with not Blue Velvet. What was not True Romance. Cred. What's the one with Nicolas Cage in his Elvis jacket singing Help Me Tender?
That's not leaving Las Vegas.
Thousand Miles
Wild Graceland? At Heart. No. Wild at Heart.
Oh, Wild at Heart. Okay.
Yes, where he's hired by Ellen What's-Her-Face's parents to go track her down and get her back from Nicolas Cage. And he doesn't want to do it, and the whole time he's muttering to himself driving along. And anyway,
if I had to throw in an alternate since you got to on that one, because I think we agree that he's great in Alien. Right. Paris, Texas, if you haven't seen that movie.
Yes.
It's old.
I've seen that.
84, I want to say. Yeah, 84. Sam Shepard's in it. He wrote it. Also has your Dean Stockwell in there talking to Ziggy all day. Anyway, that's a really interesting movie. This is not a fun movie or a movie you're like, oh, wow, what a great popcorn pleaser this is. It's weird, but it's great.
I'm going to go with his douchey role in what's the thing with the Bill Paxton where he's got three wives.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Love.
Yeah, he was the head of the cult.
That's right. Yeah.
He was great in that.
God, he was. Yeah.
Freaky looking dude.
For my money,
just a weathered.
Very weathered. He's 80 something. He's still smoking like four packs a day.
Okay. For my money, it's Harry Dean Stanton's character in Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yeah.
What did he play in that? I'm trying to remember.
He was Molly Ringwald's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Drunk.
Hey, really?
For me, it's this photo I'm giving you guys in Skype right now. For me, this is the ultimate thing.
I hope it's the one with his hair all like flattened down. And
take a look at that thing. Woo.
Wow, he's old.
Yeah.
Wow, he's old. See, he's old school.
He's in the Avengers. What are you doing that? Was he the guy that found the Hulk?
Yeah.
No, really. When the Hulk went to
the janitor that found the Hulk, right?
I think it was.
Right. Yes, he was the janitor. Yeah. Yes. Gave him some clothes. Yeah.
That's great.
Why are you naked?
What's going on? He was born in 26, you guys.
Yeah. Wow. And apparently, apparently, even at this age, when his hair is long, he uses an iron.
Yeah.
That is some iron straightened hair on this guy.
Pretty sweet. I had some other notes, like the bad guy in this movie is just real shitty. I didn't think he was effective at all.
It's weird.
It's a phoned in trope, or not phoned in, but it's a total trope.
Yeah.
Not a good bad guy at all.
We talked about gun montage. Why did the bus leave when Eyeball Doctor Peter Stormare started shooting his pistol? So they opened fire with the giant.
So they got the Vickers gun going. They did not run out of ammo.
Nope, no, it's still like then, dangling out like, of the side. Yeah.
And they're still aimed right down the street toward the direction everybody's coming.
Yep.
Why didn't they just stick with that?
Fill that car full of holes that he's hiding behind. Chances are you're going to pierce. You're going to go through that thing eventually anyway.
Oh, that Vickers gun would have taken down the whole town. Buildings would have been falling over.
Yeah, so he goes bang, bang with his pistol. And they're like, get out of here. Back it up, Jack. Yes.
Before that he was, shoots out a tire.
Oh my that God. Was so very weird. Yeah. I did not. That was a bad trope. That
yes.
That set yourself into a worse position. Trope.
Well, and while we're talking about that scene, all right. So Luis Guzman gets shot down the middle of the street.
He got shot right. with Henry Dean Stanton. Right, got it.
Gets shot in the middle of the street there. Now they pull out this bus, spin it all over the street where Luis Guzman's body is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, you know, no dragging him out, no nothing. Like, no, oh my God, we better go get his body out of the way. How did they not run over him like a dozen times with that?
And how did he survive either, by the way?
They didn't care. They did.
Guzman is the new Terminator.
He's Guzman. He can take it.
Right? I find him so interesting to look at.
Oh, I do too.
It's just something about him. He's either a guy who is who he is. He's a face you always recognize in films. He's highly regarded, right? It's that guy, or he's a dude at a gas station that you don't want to talk to. Like, that's right. His lot in life is one of those two extremes and nothing in the middle. That's just how I look at him. I see him and go, I wouldn't want to meet him in real life. He scares me.
No. Most entertaining guy, though, in the movie.
Oh, he's fantastic. Yes. Right. I think Storm Air carried the movie, but for me. I think he's great.
I still would have liked to have had a beer offset with Guzman and Storm Air.
Yeah, Storm Air. Right. Hey, make Storm that Air. One of the standoffs. Yeah. There are four standoffs. All right.
So the last trope I want to hit on in this movie is really, really, really obvious. It's the badass grandpa. There's multiples. There's Harry Dean Stanton is ready to shoot. You know, obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger, badass grandpa.
Grandma,
There's a badass grandma.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you discounting the incredible Expendables.
Yeah.
And we got to go ahead and discount Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull because we've just already
mentioned
that.
Stop discounting that.
Don't worry. Already discounted years ago.
Give me,
way discounted.
Give me a better badass grandpa than Arnold Schwarzenegger in this movie.
The movie's on the clearance rack outside of the sidewalk sale.
Bunch of options. You got a lot of options. All right. This is a really common trip.
Official grandpa? Because I'll tell you, Copland was fantastic.
I don't think I've seen Copland.
That was great.
Are we talking
about an action movie, though, right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. It's. I mean, dramas don't usually
have a badass. Sure.
So you could count this Eastwood one. Where that's.
I was going to say the Line of Fire for Eastwood.
Ooh. Oh no! The Grand Torino.
That's what I was going to say that one, but that's not an action film. That was exactly the movie I was going
to
use.
They wanted it to be except for
moving a fridge.
Yeah, they wanted that movie to be that. It was never that. It was never the thing the trailer made it look like. That's what I hate about that movie. But you're right. I think in the Line of Fire would have. That's a great choice. I like that one a lot.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take Copland back because it was like 97. He wasn't that old.
It's another like
Sylvester Unforgiven. Stallone.
Oh, yeah, Unforgiven. Mm-hmm. I love that movie so much.
I'm Googling Badass Grandpa.
That
movie.
Is one of my favorite movies ever.
How about Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore? That's a pretty awesome
one. That was a really good one.
Well, if you're not talking about lead character, that one's all right.
Yeah, it's a trope I dearly love. Like,
it's great.
If you want to sit and watch Rocky VI, you know, freaking Stallone plays a pretty badass old man. But I will happily watch that.
That one's also good. It's funny because you don't see women who are aging do these same things. It's not happening the same. Except and I don't mean it's their choice. I'm saying that they're not making movies where it's like, oh, she still kicks ass.
Red. Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, Red. But that's everyone. That's the whole team.
Yeah, I think, right, to really qualify this, I mean, you'd have to be really an action star. And there haven't been, not until more recently, has there been a slew of
like great heroine action stars. Yeah.
Right,
it's unfortunate, or it's good that we're finally maybe doing more of that because I like a good action movie with a.
Can't wait for Mila to come out.
Don't worry, we're gonna see. Well, Judi Dench in Skyfall.
Yeah, oh yeah,
but at the very end, she kind of picks up and helps out a little bit,
and then died.
You know who I'm gonna choose? I'm going to award all time best badass grandpa.
Okay.
Goes to and he took the title away from Jean-Luc Picard. Admiral William Adama.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh,
sure. That guy, every now and then he shows up in that tank top, that black tank top, yeah. And he just looks like he is so strong, he could throw you through the side of the
boxing
ship.
Episode is great, yeah. Because it's two things there. It's him showing that he's still strong, then showing that he can get the shit kicked out of him by Chief Terrell if he needs to, and mm-hmm. then using it as a lesson for the entire crew to learn, and then storms out of there. It is so he is a complete badass. Absolutely.
Yeah, good choice. Yeah.
I think you
And at the end of Battlestar Galactica, that actor was 73 years old.
Oh man. He's great.
I hope I am that powerful sounding when I'm 73.
I doubt any of us will be. How do I help these kids? Okay. let's do some clips. I have a number of them. And let's see. Let me get to them here. Here we go. Here's one let's see. Oh, this is Arnold doing some acting, and it's not very good.
Did I hear you ain't coming to the game? Something about you don't want to drive 5 hours to see a football game?
Well, I'm not a big crowd guy. Plus, someone has to stay behind to keep the peace.
To keep the peace. Mm. You want to do that one, Brian Dunaway? You want
to keep the peace?
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. The way I learn. I told you sometimes I have to warm up.
Oh, it's getting worse.
It's a very thin veil. Wow.
Oh, that's even really bad.
When in doubt, though, you can always just go to Kevin Nealon doing Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what you said.
A pump.
Yeah, pump you up. You up. Mm-hmm. Knoxville speaks for the first time.
That'll put another asshole in an elephant right there, boys.
Never heard that phrase.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I may have heard it on a Jackass episode.
I understand. But they weren't shooting at an elephant.
Right, but what's another hole in the elephant? Or another asshole in the elephant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. Don't understand it. It's a great porn movie, though. The asshole in the elephant.
The asshole in the elephant.
Luis Guzman says no a lot in this scene. So he's rivaling Shia LaBeouf for how many no's you can say in one scene. So here it is. Right here.
No!
That's a lot of no's.
Wow. And the interesting thing is, he's speaking Spanish right there.
Uh-huh, yeah.
No. I mean, see. let's see. Army. What? I don't know.
Do you have a permit for that monster?
Do you have a permit for that? You have it.
Pass it on to the troopers.
Troopers.
Now he was talking about...
Pass it on to the troopers.
Sorry, click that button.
In the permit, he was talking about the Smith & Wesson 500, and I'd like to know... Why you need, maybe in Arizona, you just generally need a permit.
Just need gun permits. Yeah, maybe. Like a flat one. Like one that covers everything you got in your garage.
Yeah. And of course, Johnny Knoxville's character has a business permit.
Yeah.
Which, like, oh, it's so funny. And then they don't really make good use of it.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been so freaking funny.
I agree. All of that stuff wasted. Pass it on to the troopers when it's wasted.
Pass it on to the troopers.
Yeah. I love how he says that.
The troopers.
Henry Dean Stanton walks in.
How's it going?
They're going a lot better. You tell me what the hell you're doing on my property.
I probably really thought it was his property.
We actually got a whole different character he's playing. Yeah, you know, let's just go with this one.
But listen to Stormare with his greeting. Hold on.
How's it going?
How's it going?
How's it going?
It's so bad.
God, he's bad. He's carrying a gun called a Colt Dragoon.
Uh-huh.
It's a Civil War gun. And if you imagine him in a Civil War movie, his accent works better.
Yeah, does it? Yeah, it kind of does. Like an early melting pot, early states kind of thing.
Yeah.
How's it going?
How's it going?
All right. How about an ass full of buckshot? Everybody wants that.
You clear out now, and I won't fill your ass full of buckshot.
That's right. Still, again, I think he thought that's what he was going to do. Let's put in a good performance. Okay. Here's another bit.
Do I look like an idiot to you? Want me to ask him?
I kind of like that scene. That's when we're in L.A. Here's a good one.
Show me the body.
Show me the body.
Show me the body.
That's what he said to his maid right before, a little hanky-panky with the maid. Remember in his real life? Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Show me the body.
Yeah, show me the body.
I get it.
Yeah, it's ripped from today's headlines. Come on. Keep up. Let's see. Guzman tells us how it was done.
Okay, so the way I see it, we got a busted window, all right? It looks like a burglary gone bad to me. I figure what Parson did, we came in, and he surprised them, maybe. Yeah, could have been that.
Did anyone check for tire tracks yet?
they were here first.
See, pretty good scene.
That's his only fun.
Should have used him more for things like that. All right. I like this agent a lot.
I know the CBP agent in charge down there. He's a hard ass. Total
hard ass. All right,
here's all kinds of lunges.
We didn't find any. I mean, there's some angry acting, but mostly I found angry shooting. And this is that girl on Thor. What's her character? Gist?
Jamie Alexander is the actress. Character is
Bliss, Fliss, Kiss,
Sarah Torrance.
Oh no, I mean in Thor.
Oh, Sif.
Sif.
Oh, syphilis. Yeah.
Got it. She's the goddess of syphilis that comes from Asgard.
She's the goddess of wearing that big revealing dress to the
That was
Oscars.
Her.
Yes.
She's a hottie.
Yes, she is.
Here is her doing something. Angry shooting. That's pretty pissed.
Yes. And let's give away the fact that you're out of bullets for a second. here's a link in the... Got a photo.
All right, let's see if we can't spruce up this Sunday afternoon. Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah, somebody else wore one of these, though, recently.
I think you're thinking of her, because this was the Dark World premiere.
Scott Johnson is looking at a photo of the actress pretty much naked.
How do you keep that thing up covering your bajubajo and your bum?
That would be double-sided sticky tape.
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
So there's tape under all that?
Yep.
Well, that ruins it, doesn't it?
Really?
Well, then you get a little sticky goo in there.
You look at a dress like that and say... Oh, please bend over. Oh, please turn to the side. Oh,
no, I look at it and go, how are you going to get that out of there? You get some goo gone you can put on there later? Like, are your nipples going to hurt? Like, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just being practical. Let's see. What else we got here? We got Nazi killer or something. Oh, no. Arnie's going to tell you a secret.
I tell you a secret. I'm probably more afraid than you are right now.
Yeah. I totally am. Nazi killer gun.
Vicky, she's my little Nazi killer. 1939 Vickers gun. Oh, my little crazy bitch.
I could have used more in Knoxville, honestly.
Yeah.
I like him.
With him, a little goes a long way, though. Like the whole shimmying up the telephone pole to shake it off, or the helmet and the shield and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
usually sends Steve-O up to do that stuff.
That's right.
Stuff is more dangerous. He doesn't do those anymore.
Yeah. I'm sure he did not do his own stunts in this film.
Nope. How's that going? Their intro. I love that intro. Anyway.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it goes. I think I have it somewhere. Anyway, bad montage music, man. This movie, it like swooped down and said, hey, 1980s, every detective show ever made, we're taking your music and there's nothing you can do about it. So here it is. How did they get away with that?
Bongos, right. Even. Nice.
That was you. Now you go back and tell me that wasn't stolen from the opening sequence of an episode of Fantasy Island.
That's what I'm saying. Seriously,
play it again and think Fantasy Island.
Okay, Fantasy Island without the guns. Here you go. Right? Whoop. That's not it. Yeah, the planes.
It's a guy setting up umbrellas on a beach.
Yeah,
is what that was.
That's exactly it. I really hate that motif. So why is that in my 2013 movie?
I did
movie?
Not even notice it, but boy, do I agree with you.
So bad. All right, stupid name. Oh, this is good.
Do you have stupid names for all your shit?
Only the shit I love.
It's a good line.
Wow,
it's pretty good. All right,
what the hell is that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, was that Stormaris?
Yeah, Stormaria.
What the hell is that?
That's great.
All right, above the link of Jamie Alexander in Skype, click that link.
Oh, you got another one here?
Yeah.
The one above?
This is for everybody, yeah.
Pieter Stormare.
Oh, wait, let's go back. Here we go.
Pieter Stormare.
Oh, that's right. Oh, who sent us this? Somebody sent this
Andreas
a while ago.
Andreas Ekberg.
Oh, that's his voice?
No, that's not Andreas's voice. That's a Wikipedia entry that tells you how to pronounce his name.
Pieter Stormare.
I'm wondering how many people bother. I think no one cares. You know?
Stormare.
Yeah. That's annoying. That's really how you say it.
I'm not calling him that.
I'll bet people call him Peter.
I got to put Scott on the spot. You really actually want him in this role in this movie? Like,
I want him in the movie. Someone else? I don't care who, what he does. I like him in my movies.
I just wish he would have kept his regular voice. His regular voice is fine.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Give us the Fargo voice, Ungwind.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What the hell is that?
They didn't have to make him do an accent. I agree.
Yeah.
There's more.
Look at that squirrel. That big motherfucker hat.
Come on, that's gold, man. I love it. And now I've got this forever. And I can use it anytime I want. And I got this.
Look at that squirrel.
And I play that anytime. It's like a gift. I really like it. All right, here's Guzman having an exclamation of sorts.
Oh, shit.
Is that right before he got blown up or whatever? I think.
Oh, yes. Shit.
Yeah, it's right before that bomb hit.
Yeah. Which you shoot a car in the gas tank with one of those and it flips over you and you still have the wherewithal to pick up your hat and walk towards them with a gun.
Yep.
That's damn impressive.
It's pretty impressive. Luis Guzman, dude. Got the skin of leather or something. All right, here's one. This is the old lady. First thing we hear the old lady here. Here we go.
Put the hurt on him, Ray.
Oh. Just be careful, lady. You're going to pop something. Your spleen's going to be hanging out of your between your two ribs. All right, here's another. Here's her being telling the cops. This is great. She's explaining that she shot a dude point blank with a shotgun. And then the cop is getting this information from her. It's a very short little moment at the end, and you kind of have to pay attention. Yeah. But she like is explaining that she's finishing her conversation about what she did. And at the end of this clip, he immediately says, "Great," puts his notebook in his pants and walks away. Yeah. That's the end of that. Then mystery solved. So here's that her saying that.
That's why I shot him.
That's why I shot him. And then Jimmy's off to the patrol car.
Okey-doke.
That was great.
All I need, thanks.
And then Scott Fletcher saying this wrong.
If you don't want the silver, you gotta take the lead.
He means the lead.
Oh.
He meant the lead.
Look, that works both ways.
That's so funny.
I mean, yeah. We sent him quotes without any context, so it's spelled that way, so could be
that's
lead.
That's funny.
Take the lead. All right, so there's all of that, and that means...
You didn't send him the link to say, look at that squirrel?
No, I didn't. I should have. Those come from Mike anyway, so I'll have to get after that.
Yeah, and that one's not even on, that's not on the IMDb quotes page, sadly.
Oh, it should be. That's one of the greatest things
I've ever
said. It
should be. Yeah, exactly.
All right, here's this. Oh, that's the film sack checklist, and here's how that goes. Fake world where only two arms of the law are and one dude and his team in L.A. and an Austrian sheriff and his deputies in Arizona. Check! It's too long. I screwed that one up. Number two, an excuse to drag poor Henry Dean Stanton out of hiding for one more bill-paying role. Check! Right. And then finally, sports cars as corn threshers for no reason. Check. All right, great. Star Trek Connections, we have one, Diana R. Lupo. She was Magnet Girl in this. I don't know what role that was. Say,
from which series? The original series?
No, she's Magnet Girl in this.
She was Magnet Girl.
In this movie, she is Magnet Girl. So I have no idea, dude. No idea what that is. She's probably on the credits in there somewhere. Stunt woman and stunt actress who performed utility stunts in Star Trek Insurrection.
I know exactly who she is. She's the one who is standing on the giant magnet that picks up the police car that...
The leather chick. She's the chick in the bucket. She's
the chick on top of right in the bucket.
Because she never... Mm-hmm. I kept thinking, henchman, hot chick, henchman, and she'll be around for this whole movie. Nope. That's it. She's out.
See ya.
I'm on magnet duty and then I'm out. You're paying me time and a half for this.
Exactly. Ooh, what's my character name? Magnet Girl?
Magnet Lady.
I'm in.
That's hilarious. What a great connection. Thank you for those, Daryl. Go ahead.
Your comment, by the way, earlier about the two arms of the law. Mm-hmm. Remind me, if you shoot somebody in the back with a flare gun, will it blow their arms off?
No.
Okay.
Was it a flare gun? I thought it was a flare gun, but then when we exploded, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
It was a flare gun.
I like comedic gore. Don't get me wrong, but geez, that was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a flare gun? Why would it explode then? Do they explode?
Don't they explode like
they
a firework?
Explode once they get to the top. Like once you shoot them in the air and they get up to the top, they explode, but not enough to blow a guy into several pieces.
Yeah, he'd have had
Let's look it up.
He'd have had burns on his back.
That's called an Orion flare gun. Brian's right. And we just got to assume the character that Johnny Knoxville's playing had loaded it with something special.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's a fair assumption. Mm-hmm. I've seen Jackass. I know what he's capable of.
Yep,
what
exactly.
would happen if you really shot somebody with a flare gun?
I'm pretending you're asking Jeeves just for my own amusement.
I am. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay, great.
Most operate on small. I don't care anymore. Whatever.
That's it. Too much info. Soundtrack great. I give it a P for poo. I didn't like it at all. Thought it was just bad.
way off.
Yeah, just didn't fit. It felt old. It felt lame. I didn't like it.
It was weird.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. All right, we're getting to the Twitter post now. This is where 140 characters or less, you guys sum it up. Let's start with Randy.
The Last Stand raised so many questions, such as why and what? But let's be honest, we'd all watch the sequel, damn it.
Sure we would. No.
Oh, yeah.
I would, starring Liam Neeson.
One more stand with Liam Neeson.
One more stand. This director couldn't do just one stand, though. No. We could call it the gray stand. How about that? That'd be good.
Right.
All right, moving on to Mr. Dunaway.
Ah, The Last Stand, a movie about an old flabby action star trying to stop the lead singer of Foo Fighters from crossing the Mexican border. Or something like that. I fell asleep after they shot the old guy on the tractor.
Oh, he looked a little Dave Grohl-ish. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm. He did, yeah.
Why did he have the white streak? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Let's not try to pick that.
Fashion matter.
Brian Ibbett.
The Last Stand. Come with me if you want the early bird special. Now, let's get to the chop house.
Love it.
Nice.
Get to the chop house.
Somehow that's all better now that you've invoked better moments in Arnie's career. That's great. Right.
What that last trope where he returns the keys to the Camaro guy who owns it and it's all busted?
The mayor.
Wouldn't you have liked the movie more if it hadn't been played so in your face?
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely.
Doesn't John Cusack do the same thing to Chief O'Brien and Connors?
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at. Like, wouldn't it have been awesome if he'd just been passing the guy on the street and just flipped him the keys instead of this, what did you do to my car?
Like,
this movie just doesn't have any sublety ever.
I had it out for you and then throw him the keys.
They were sewing everything. It was the same scene where the old lady said, you know, and that's why I shot him.
Right.
Case closed. That was everything real stupid ending.
Wrapped up in nice little bow.
Real dumb. All right, here's this. Ooh, alternate title just handed to me. Our alternate titles for this film, we get to choose between 2 hours. What the hell? That's one of them. Or... quote, who's that jackass cutting down the foam pole over there? Get it? Jackass. Who's that jackass? Oh, got it. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Got emails this week. We got one from South Korea, which seemed fitting.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Since this film was directed.
Was it the director? Make fun of my movie.
It was not. I wish it was. This is Chris in South Korea who says, hey, FilmSack crew, just thought I'd let you know about an awesome website. This is at movie-censorship.com. The site catalogs different film versions that exist around the world. I know sometimes on the show you guys see different versions. So this website will let you know what you've missed out on. I've included a direct link to Jason Goes to Hell, since that's the only movie I can remember right now in which this happened. Thanks for the awesome show. So the idea is, if you go to movie-censorship.com, you can find any movie, find out why it's different in Zimbabwe and why it's different at home.
No, interesting.
I'm looking at now. That's a great website, actually. That's really cool.
I'm going to bookmark this right next to mostsacked.com, which was created for our show. By Dave Knighton, who I never
and I'm
going
to pretend that movie censorship was created for us as well.
Yeah. So here it is. Jason Goes to Hell. There's like a, oh, I see. 25 scenes cut. Jeez.
Wow.
I'm trying to see what was in it. Look at all this stuff.
Well, watch out because there's on the left-hand side, there's a lot of Amazon porn.
Oh, you remember that scene when the lady got ripped in half?
Right.
In the tent. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was... Oh, gosh.
They censor stuff from Red Heat. We're in Russia.
This is great. This is great. I'm totally going to use this site all the time. This is really good. Thank you for that.
Excellent.
Thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm. Is that, well, Chris maybe.
All the Germans don't like to see the PETA, apparently, because they've censored it out.
Yeah, no PETAs. No PETAs, no blood.
It's actually the U.S.
Oh, it is? We don't like our PETA. We don't like PETA. It's not Peter's. It's Pierter or whatever the hell.
Pierter's.
Yeah, we don't like to look at people's Pierter's. Howdy says, one final email from Tim. He says, in 1980, I was 11 years old and went with my dad to see Hangar 18. We saw it 4 times. Is this a good movie? I don't know. I know it's about a crashed UFO and clearly must have liked it a lot at the time. The movie is currently streaming on Amazon Prime. I thought you guys might give a final push to see if you would see it again or if I should see it again. Thanks very much for the show.
Let's watch the trailer.
Hangar 18. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this.
Never heard of Hangar 18?
I don't think I have.
Really?
I'm looking at the poster. It's not helping either. I still don't know what this is. Darren McGavin, dude. I love him. He's the dad on Christmas Story.
Right.
Fragile, that guy. Sure, I'd see this.
The full movie is on Amazon, just like you said.
Yeah, we could do that. We all have Prime, don't we?
And I guess yep. Scott Johnson never listened to Megadeth back in the day.
I did.
Yeah, Megadeth.
I did. But did Megadeth somehow tell me secretly backwards tracking that I
need? Hangar 18.
Hangar 18. Is that how
just it went? Saying, I'm just saying, when that song came out, I had to go find the movie. And of course, it was on VHS at the local video store.
Oh.
So there's a song called Hangar 18.
My gosh, yes. It's like Megadeth's most famous song.
Okay. I didn't know. Maybe I didn't listen to enough Megadeth. Megadeth
kind of passed me by.
Really? I'm with you, Randy.
I just know the lead Megadeth dude was supposed to be in Metallica, right?
Dave Mustaine.
Was in Metallica. Guitarist.
Yeah, right.
For a while. Then he got drunk, real drunk one night, and they put something up his butt and said, "See ya, we're not doing this anymore." No, I may have made the butt part
up. They found out his daddy was in a doo-wop band.
No, that's not it.
True story. It is. Look it up.
I know they almost hired Tom Morello. Or not Tom Morello. Yeah, Tom Morello. They
did hire Tom Morello.
I thought they didn't. Because he went on to do Gary was a race car driver.
Like Les Claypool?
Or no, Les Claypool, that's who I meant.
Primus?
Yeah, oh, okay. Okay.
They hired Tom Morello for what? For bass?
I don't know. I saw the same documentary you did and I don't remember crap. It's so confusing.
I remember the drummer sold a lot of weird ass paintings in that documentary. Lars Ulrich, and that's all I remember about that. Yeah. Well, I remember that. I remember wasn't he being all pissed all the time because he was doing drugs and was tired.
Well, and the Napster thing.
Yeah. And the guitarist kind of like going, "You guys are all weird. What's wrong with us? Why can't we make an album?" I remember him just looking like, "Why can't we just do this, you guys?" And they were all having their own problems. It's a funny documentary. You should see it.
Here's the Hangar 18 trailer coming at you guys in Skype.
Oh, sweet.
My favorite Megadeth album came out in 1997. It's called Cryptic Writings.
Good?
Did you have the last one they just had?
Endgame, right? Super Collider. Last year.
Yes, I
have all the Megadeth. I'm not proud.
You're a fan is what you are.
I don't know if I'm a fan.
Let's check this Hangar 18 trailer real quick and see what's going on here. Got some sweet old British porn.
How did the United States develop the technology to pull ahead of the Russians in the space race? Many believe that a sophisticated guidance system was salvaged from a crashed UFO.
Yeah.
For the first time, a motion picture tells the story of these incredible events. It started with an accident in space.
Oh, I've had an accident in space. What are you going to do?
You know we don't use term enough in more recent years, motion picture.
We need to bring
that back.
A motion picture event. Yeah. They haven't done that in a very long time, I want to say. I'm going to pause it.
I remember seeing this in the theaters.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How's Darren McGavin?
I saw it in the theater, Scott. That was like,
I saw it in 1980. You can't recite for me exactly how this went.
Oh, he was great. I think, you know, I remember really feeling engaged in everything that he was saying.
He had a lamp made out of a leg. It was fantastic. Had fishnet on.
Exactly. I was more waiting for more aliens, more spaceship.
You know, it's funny.
Less talking.
That would have been right around that era. I mean, Christmas Story was right around then, 81, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was busy.
By the way, it's also a full movie on YouTube, it looks like.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shite.
So if you look for it.
I'll watch the one on Amazon, probably. I'm sure the YouTube one looks like dingus.
Feels dirty.
Yeah, it does feel dirty, doesn't it? If there's not a cat in there, I'm not interested.
Right.
Our next movie is, I don't have the list up. I thought I did. Let's see here real quick. Next movie. Here we go. Film Sack. Oh, turns out Google doesn't know what I mean when I say next movie.
I can tell you. It's The Man from Planet X.
No what? Way, dude. No way.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's great. We were looking forward to this one. It's another oldie. Real old, isn't it? I want to say 50s again.
I think this is one that even got recommended after we finished watching Angry Red Planet. I remember seeing this title come up as like, oh, did you like that?
Yep.
All right. How about this one?
Oh, here it is.
Did you like 51. That sucker?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
51. You know, this is when you know you're watching an old movie when there is only one guy has an IMDb photo in here. One
right,
dude.
Right. Angry Red Planet, man, that has really brought me around where I've been watching Svengoolie. We talked about this before the show. Has been going back and watching all these old movies that I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
We've watched so much crappy crap from the 80s and the 90s that I forgot that, oh, man, there's like 50s and 60s and 70s stuff.
Yeah, our Star Trek connection is going to be, oh, one of these guys almost lived to see the premiere of Star Trek.
By the way, the only guy with the IMDb photo is someone you know. It's William Shallert. He's the, or Shallert, however you say it.
It's not Shatner, is it?
He's in a million things you've seen. Like a million movies and TV shows. Yeah. And, just all kinds of stuff. And he looks like the sweetest little old man now. He was born in 22.
Still alive.
Yeah, still kicking it. Mm-hmm. If we could all be that lucky. Good
Desperate
job.
Desperate Housewives, How I Met Your Mother. My name is Earl.
Speaking of Angry Red Planet, I love it that you uploaded the film sack for Angry Red Planet to YouTube.
Yeah.
And I love that because there just aren't enough YouTube commenters in our lives.
we need to get more.
The very first one, the very first comment on that on Angry Red Planet was in all caps, Randy Jordan.
Yeah.
Really?
Seriously, that was the very first comment.
Yelling your name.
Was it you?
No, it wasn't me. I don't know who it was.
From
I don't
the
know
account,
this person.
Randy Deluxe. What's going on?
Very strange.
It's a thing I think I'm going to do for these episodes. People seem to like it, even though there's really nothing but a logo happening the entire time.
Yeah, and you just, I don't know why you would.
There's a generation of people listening to things on YouTube. It makes so little sense from a bandwidth perspective.
But
you know?
Don't do it on your iPhone or you can't hit the escape button.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Actually, you can. Sort of. You have to flick it funny. Anyway, speaking of flicking funny, we will be back next week with a brand new episode. So join us for the Angry Next Man X Planet. What's it called? Hold on. I just lost it.
The Man from Planet X.
That's the one. So be here for that. That's going to be good. I know it will be. You know it will be too. Oh, gosh. What else? Is that it? That's it. I think that's it. Why is that playing? Don't play that.
It's time to go.
I did not
welcome
that
to the
play.
After show.
Back to what I was saying. Oh, yeah. Check us out on the web. Filmsack.com is the website. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com on Twitter. You can find us at Filmsack and leave us a review on iTunes and wherever podcasts are distributed because we like that. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Rand. Derp.
Yep.
See you next time.
La 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 la.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
What the hell is that?